Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International and welcome to the program Family Health and Lifestyle. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, on this beautiful and wonderful Wednesday afternoon, we commence with Female Masail with Apa Zakira Insamia. This is our regular Wednesday afternoon segment wherein we discuss Masail and also relevant issues pertaining to women. Now, we are currently discussing conscious parenting. And last week, Apa Zakira discussed making good education choices for our children. Today, inshallah, Apa will be focusing on consciously parenting your teens. Now, I think that's a very important topic as well. Now, that will be followed, inshallah, by our second interview. And this time, it will be with Sister Fazila Bayat. She is a therapist, Hakima. And this afternoon, she'll be telling us more about emotional therapy. We're looking at the benefits of emotional therapy and also how emotions are produced, and the importance of it in human functioning, inshallah. So all this coming up within the hour. And also in the final segment, inshallah, we're going to be sharing with you something very interesting, and it's actually how to make a cup of gut healthy coffee. Now, I know many people, feel that coffee is actually not very healthy, but this is some other information that I'm going to be sharing with you today. It's according to a gastroenterologist and author of the book Fiber Fueled, Dr. Will Bilsiewicz. It's his, it's what he says about coffee. In fact, you can actually make a cup of gut-healthy coffee. So that's coming up at the end of the program almost, inshallah. Okay, so we have Sister Zakira online. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Zakira.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Zeenat. How are you doing this afternoon?
Alhamdulillah, it's just very hot out here. I wonder what's it like there in Durban?
It's a rather humid day up, so not too much of heat, more cloud cover, but yeah, the humidity is at its peak as usual, alhamdulillah.
Okay, so today we're looking at consciously parenting your teen. So over to you, Apa Zakira.
All right, bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Yes, indeed, Apa. I've chosen the topic of consciously parenting your teen today because we've come to the point of this discussion of conscious parenting where we started off, speaking about the child from embryo to moving on, like, so during the pregnancy, how you would take care of this baby from a spiritual perspective. And then we moved on and we spoke about the infant, the toddler, from the adolescent. And last week we wrapped up, the parenting choice, educational choices of a parent, looking for the perfect madrasa. And as I was saying, being the end of the year, normally many institutes are advertising already where it's an open day and you can come in and you can have, you can look at it and those kind of things. So let's take these opportunities and let's, inshallah, make these discerning choices. So that's the next one. Today we move into the second and the second last phase of our discussion. Next week we will wrap it up, inshallah. So today it's about the teen. What exactly is it about parenting a teen that is so different from parenting a child of any other age? So parents who have teens would tell you that they're almost going through this phase of being, it's like being under closed circuit camera 24/7. And that's simply because, and the reason I describe that is because it's no more about what you tell your children that really makes a difference to them. It's so much more about the way you now behave. When you go shopping, the way you deal with the teller, when you go to the petrol station, the way you deal with the petrol attendant, the please and thank yous, the kind gestures, the words of compassion if necessary. And all this is constantly being taken in by your teen. Why? Because they are at an age now where the portion of the brain, the amygdala, the decision-making portion of the brain, and the prefrontal cortex that has been in reconstruction mode for the past few years is now settling. And it is time for them to now start deciding what exactly it is, which values they would like to keep with them. So you've been teaching them values from the time they were little. But this is where they want to evolve as an adult of their own. And that is why it is so important now to do and say the things that we truly mean, because our teens are actually taking it all in to a point of saving it for their future life. So, my dear mothers and sisters, if we are looking at parenting a teen from the perspective of how can this become how can it not become a battleground for me constantly to say things to my teen and then my teen rebel? I think it's also for us to step out of the box a little, put ourselves in their shoes and empathize and look at things from their perspective. They're living in a time where things are so fast-paced. Everything is changing all the time to the extent that their own being, their own bodies are growing, are changing, are developing. Their hormones are all over the place. Take into consideration these things happening to your teen when dealing with them. And deal with them with a little bit of a softer approach. Yes, we do need to be their parent, but at the same time, being their friend at this point in their life is super important. Not the friend to the extent that we give in to the every whim and the every need, but the friend to the extent that we let them know if ever they're going through something that's emotionally challenging for them, that's difficult for them to deal with, they can turn to us. Over and above all of this, Apazinet, one of the things that we ought to give our teenage children the ability to do is make their own good decisions. And how do we do this? We connect them with the Quran and the Sunnah. So more than ever before, your teen needs someone in their life that is going to give them that guidance. Be it a twice in the week madrasa, or be it a weekend mentor, muallim that they go to, a class that they attend online, whatever it may be. Because let's face it, our children often don't necessarily want to hear things and don't necessarily want to take, especially when it comes to, you know, spiritual advice, etc., directly from us as parents. They find it much easier to accept this when it comes, when it is someone on the outside. And more so, they find it very, very interesting when this person, you know, is on a level with them, so to speak, you know, can understand what they're going through. So choose someone for your child that will make this transition, this transition, yes, into adulthood, an easy one. Connect them with someone that they can ask their difficult questions to. Give them the opportunity to be able to, without being judged, to be able to come up to you and, you know, speak about those difficult matters. Remember, our children are going through things, especially our teenagers. They're having to deal with a lot that is out there on social media, and there's so many different kinds of debates on any one matter. There was a time, yes, when black was black and white was white. It isn't like that anymore. So let's understand that for what it is, my dear mothers and sisters. Parenting your teen doesn't have to be, yes, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken about it, you know, being, in fact, in the Quran rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about your wealth and your children could be a test for you. And sometimes it does seem like the biggest form of jihad, having to bring up these teen kids. But it doesn't have to be that way if we as parents use the right mindset, tone of voice, the manner in which we interact with them, and we parent them from a level where it's not nearly about, I want you to become the best academically, or I want you to, you know, I want everyone to know you are the son of so-and-so, and you must keep up the family name. And No. Just developing a pure, holistic human being should be enough. Are you kind? Are you compassionate? Have I left you with morals and values that will teach you never to cheat anyone, never to, you know, hurt anyone's feelings, to always empathize with others so that you are able to deal with situations both when you are in a difficulty or when others are. And this is very, very important. So inshallah, I'm hoping that this left you with something to think about. Until we speak again next week, where we wrap up our discussion of conscious parenting. Jazakallah khair for the opportunity. Apazina, it's Fia Manila. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And jazakallahu khair, Abla Zakira, for sharing that information with us. Yes, it's never too easy to, parent your teenagers, but sometimes it's not so bad, really. I think it's communication also plays a very, very important role, is to just always, as parents, keep those lines of communication open at all times. Make it easy for them to be able to come to you at any time and be able to discuss anything and everything with you. Or, somebody like Appa was saying, somebody out there that, can relate to them and can talk to them in some way or the other. And I think this is where family members play a very, very important role. Maybe uncles or aunts or, favorite uncles or favorite aunties or somebody like that, where they can actually, make a difference in your life. If you can't come to you, they need to know that there's somebody else that they can go to that would be able to listen to them and understand them. And of course, be able to advise them correctly, inshallah. Allah make it easy for each parent out there that have teenagers. I know it can be very, very difficult sometimes, but really not that bad, inshallah. We take a break, and when we return, inshallah, we'll be speaking to Sister Fazila Bayat, who is a therapist too, and Hakima, and we're going to be talking to her about emotional therapy. We hope to look at some of the benefits of it, and also, how emotions are actually produced and the importance of it in human functioning, inshallah. All this coming up in a few moments. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Family Health and Lifestyle. I'm your host, Sister Zenith. Well, emotion-focused therapy, or rather known as EFT, is a therapeutic approach based on the premise that emotions are key to identity. According to EFT, emotions are also a guide for individual choice and decision-making. This type of therapy assumes that lacking emotional awareness or avoiding unpleasant emotions can cause harm. Joining me is Sister Fazila Bayat, who is a therapist and a Hakima, and we're going to be talking about emotional therapy or emotion-focused therapy, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Fazila. I hope you're there.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, Zina?
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair for joining us this afternoon.
No problem. You're welcome.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, now I read out something about emotion focus therapy, that it's a therapeutic approach based on the premise that emotions are key to identity, etc. But could you tell us more about emotional therapy? Just simplify it for us a little, please.
Okay. Sister Zinat, what you said is actually the basics. I mean, it says, So the emotional therapy is like more of a complete theory of human functioning, like based on the adaptive role of the emotion. And on a therapy practice founded on the idea that emotional change is central to enduring change. Like this therapy emphasizes the awareness, acceptance, understanding, transformation of emotions, and proposes that emotions themselves have a potential that if it's activated can bring a change to the person. It can give a negative emotion or a positive emotion. And that's now according to the individual.
Okay. So, I know emotional therapy, any other therapy for that matter, has many benefits, but with regards to emotional therapy, what are some of its benefits to the patient or to the client?
It's a very good, the benefits are very good because actually it helps the patient to experience their emotions in a safe setting of therapy, so that rather than avoiding or controlling their feelings, like patients learn to use them as a guide to what is important or necessary in their lives. And it really, it can build them up at the same time as well. Because if they're in a negative state of mind, they'll question everything. So this actually helps them build their mindsets as well.
Is this when one has to actually go for therapy? The therapy itself will help the patient in that way?
Yes.
Okay. Now, with regards to these sessions, how are the sessions of emotional therapy actually conducted? How would you go about doing that?
I think majority of the therapists, each session is important and different. Of course, every individual is different according to their issues, behavior, and their mindset. It's usually a problem-solving session. The patient describes his or her current situation and the feelings that they're going through. And the therapist uses their expertise to assist them, trying to solve that problem so you can move closer to the life that person now wants to have. At the start of a session, the therapist invites you to share what been going on in your life, then what's on your mind, what's bothering you, whether there are any goals you'd like to discuss. You will be invited to speak openly. The therapist will listen, take notes, speak to you, give homework. That's depending on the issue of the person. And this is strictly confidential, a special unique type of conversation, because the patient can say exactly what he or she feels, totally honestly, without worrying if anyone's feelings is going to be hurt or relations going to be damaged or any guilty, feeling a guilt about anything. So it's more to make them even more comfortable and be content with themselves and trust you when they, having the session with you. But now, you see, Sister Zinat, that's what I explained is mostly a general topic of how a therapist does her work. Now, in my field, because I have a special gift as well, so when I do these sessions, and it depends on the individual, what they go through, I sometimes will give them homework, but my homework is very different. It's not only noting down, it's more, sometimes it's ideal, I give them a homework on seeing scenery, on going into the garden or, all different, because I pick up each one has a different problem and everything can't be unnoted. So my homework will be different. Sometimes I'll give them a zikr to read. I will tell them what to eat, what to drink. So mine is very in-depth because I can see more of the individual.
Oh, alhamdulillah. Is that what the Hakima is all about?
Gee, and then I have with my sessions, there'll be maybe when I feel this is the right time for my patient, I will give them a therapeutic massage, but that is now for blood circulation because that is also important when you in a negative mindset. You must know your circulation, your health, everything comes down. So I help them in that sense. So I actually give them also a special kind of a massage. So I add all this into my kind of therapeutic emotional therapy.
Oh, so it's basically like a double therapy that you're getting at the same time. Alhamdulillah. Now, what kind of problems is this kind of treatment effective? What is it good for? What kind of problems would people actually come to you for this kind of treatment?
Most of them will have, it's when they come to me, some of them will have, it's mostly they're suffering what maybe they think that the issue is at the moment, but the issue can be from the past. Some of them have a good past, but the recent cycle in their life was not good, or something that was not good at all, or what they went through, and they feel that they couldn't handle it. So it's on that. So I think I'll generally just say that it's a mindset of irrespective of whatever the issue is. It can be the past problem, the present problem, but it's the mindset, because every emotion is produced by the brain. Mm-hmm. So it is the way our brain gives meaning to the bodily sensations based on experience in our lives, past, present, like I have mentioned it earlier. And like different core networks in our brain all contribute at different levels of feelings, like such as happiness, sadness, surprise, anger, you know. So it's that is what how these emotions then produce, and this is how then the state of mind changes according to what you experience in your life.
Okay, so would you, things like depression, all these mental health problems, would that also be able to be treated by this kind of therapy?
Yes. And believe me, it helps a lot. I had a couple of patients that suffered with depression and
anxiety.
Alhamdulillah, this therapy would really help anybody suffering with a mental disorder.
Okay. How are emotions produced really, and what are the importance of it in human functioning?
Emotions are more created by, like I have said, our brain. So the brain gives like meaning to whatever you're going through, like the experience in your life. So it will your brain will now, if something that you went through that really hurt you, so then the brain starts cooperating on that sadness. And then when you sad, then you will feel, you know what, I'm not worth it. So then that's like it goes, I'm not worth it. And then I will remain sad. Then I have nothing in life. I can't do this. I can't do that. So it's actually the brain that produces our emotions, and then it's how you accepting those emotions.
Mm-hmm. And how you deal with them, I guess.
Gee. And then like emotions can play a very important role in how we behave and how we think. And emotions is we feel each day can compel us to take action and influence decisions we make about our lives as well, large or small. It's how you experience the emotions, how your body reacts to the emotions as well. And emotions are very important in one's life. Without emotions, there is no normal life. But most important thing is how we manage those emotions in our living life.
And they talk about emotion schemes. What is that all about?
These schemes is more like starting, say, from in your childhood, because emotions are now from the child, you know, from you, a child, and whatever happens from childhood. So this it starts from childhood, then its experience becomes like organized into your emotion scheme, like that will always include your feelings, your actions, tendencies, and sometimes includes beliefs and so on. As you grow up, different experiences and organizing different emotions, it changes your mindset. So the purpose of the emotional focus is to change dysfunctional emotion schemes.
Okay. And, as an emotional therapist, what type of results are you aiming for?
I really want to just see my patients being healthy. I'm there to help them achieve a good mental health, like an overall healthy individual with strong faith in the Creator and in a life, so they can be content. And that will, with that contentment and that strong faith in your Creator, like that will bring the peace of loving and expecting each day with the situations in your life. You'll be able to accept each day of your life, this is what I want. If your mental health is good and a strong faith in your Creator and a content life, then you will have a loving, a peaceful life. That's what I want. I want them to be happy. When they walk out of my practice, I just want to see them smiling and being a healthy individual.
Yes, certainly. A healthy mind, if your mind is healthy, then obviously you'll have a healthy body, inshallah.
Exactly. And that's why I keep telling my patients that Allah has given us eyes that is in front, not at the back, because we're not, it's for us to look forward, go forward in your life, not to look back. So that I tell to most of my patients. And I see they have that. If you give them, you help them with giving them all positive quotes and that, and it really helps them as well. And alhamdulillah, you know, to see somebody really well, not only medication helps you, your mindset is the most important thing.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, I think it's so important. Like we said, you know, a healthy mind is definitely leads to a healthy body and a healthy outlook in life as well, inshallah.
Yeah.
Okay. So when a person wants to contact an emotional therapist, do they have to be referred to by someone, or could they just come in themselves and, you know, make an appointment and come in?
Okay, with my case, they can contact me directly. Mm-hmm. I help them. And I know in other therapists, they want referral. But on the basis of my practice, I don't take any referrals. So I help them directly. So I can give my number if it's fine.
Yes, please. I'd like that contact number if you would like to share that with us, please.
It's 073.
Mm-hmm.
393-8429.
429. And are you, where are you based?
I'm based in Indonesia.
Oh, alhamdulillah. I didn't even know about that. Alhamdulillah.
It's speaking always.
Yes. Okay, Jazakallah. But before we go, Sister Fazila, what message would you like to leave with for our listeners?
I'll just say to all of them that no matter what you're going through, just remember that our life is in Allah's hands. So if you be content with yourself, thinking that, you know what, Allah is in control of everything. You can be in a negative position, you can be in a positive position, but you just think all the time that Allah created me, Allah is in control of everything. I'm telling you, you will able to take out each day of your life.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Sister Fazila, for speaking to us. We certainly do appreciate it, and we hope to speak to you again, inshallah, in the future.
Ameen. Jazakallah to you as well, and you're welcome anytime, Sister Zina.
Jazakallah khair. Well, listeners, that was Sister Fazila Bayat, therapist and Hakima, and we were talking about her emotional therapy and, you know, some of the benefits and, you know, how it can really make a difference in your life, inshallah. We take a break, and when we return, we'll share with you, I have something that I also want to share with you other than the, you know, the gut healthy coffee. We'll do that in a few moments. And then we're also going to share with you an ayat from the Holy Quran, we'll just reflect on it a little and then just see how it can actually inspire you in life, inshallah. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. We commence this beautiful afternoon with Female Messiah.
Join Sister Zenat every Wednesday afternoon as she navigates you through the turbulent waters of the modern lifestyle with discussions on health, wellness, nutrition, parenting, enhancing family relationships, and finding the ever elusive factors that lead to contentment and fulfillment. Family Health and Lifestyle on Radio Islam International, your link to a better lifestyle.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Family Health and Lifestyle. Now, how to make a cup of gut-healthy coffee? Now, I know many people out there would feel coffee is not really that healthy. But according to gastroenterologist and author of the book Fiber Fuel, Dr. Will Bolsovics, I think, I hope that name is pronounced correctly, this is what he has to say. He says, just in case you were having doubts about your morning coffee habit, rest assured that coffee is, in fact, good for you. Well, there you have it. It is good for you. And chances are your doctor perhaps is also brewing a cup of gut-healthy coffee every morning. Coffee itself isn't the problem, but rather it's the garbage that we add to it. According to this doctor, Dr. Wills Bolsovics, who is a gastroenterologist and also the author of the book, Fiber Fueled. Now, he says, while you might have heard that coffee is good for your brain and heart because of its full because it is full of antioxidants, he says it's also good for your gut because the polyphenols in coffee serve as prebiotics, feeding the good bacteria in the gut. He also mentions that it makes his morning cup even healthier by adding a few spices like ginger, turmeric and cinnamon. So instead of, adding sugar and adding cream and adding milk, you know, full cream milk, instead add ginger, turmeric and cinnamon. Now, let me tell you why these spices added to your coffee actually makes it a gut-healthy coffee. Right, if we look at ginger, now ginger. And, fortunately, in all our Indian homes, most of our food, almost everything is cooked with ginger. So, alhamdulillah, I think we have quite a bit of good spices that is healthy for us. But just unfortunately, we sometimes use it in the wrong way. Now, in this case, ginger reduces inflammation and also improves intestinal function. Ginger has long been used to reduce gas and bloating because it has phenolic compounds which are known to relieve irritation in the GI tract. And it's also often used to treat nausea and morning sickness associated with pregnancy too. Now, I'm sure many women that are pregnant would relate to this because if there's one thing that is given to you if you are nauseous, then it's ginger. But like we said, ginger actually reduces inflammation. And if you are suffering from gas and bloating, then this is also a good thing to have, you know, a nice spice to add to your coffee. Okay, so the next one is turmeric. And once again, it's something that we use in almost all of our cooking and whatever else we do in the kitchen. Turmeric, is there any spice in the pantry health experts love more than turmeric? Well, you may have already heard that turmeric is a powerful herb for reducing inflammation. And this doctor also mentions that it includes, this also will include inflammation in the gut. Turmeric has powerful anti-inflammatory properties because it contains curcumin. And this can help reduce inflammation in the intestines and improve intestinal barrier function. And this means that it could also be beneficial in helping protect against leaky gut, which is when the lining of the intestines are weakened or has become weakened. Now, if you want to know more about turmeric, you can, of course, read up much more on the health benefits of turmeric. There's, in fact, so many. This is just, you know, one or few of the benefits of turmeric. Then the other one, spice that we add to our coffee is cinnamon. Now, cinnamon has antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties in addition to protecting against metabolic disorders like diabetes. And this shows that adding cinnamon is a natural way to sweeten up your coffee without using sugar, and it also sweeten up the nutritional density of your brew. Well, listeners, so these are the three spices or ingredients that you should actually add to your coffee to make sure that it's a gut-healthy coffee. So the next time you're making a cup of coffee, or, you know, just make sure that you add these three spices to it. That's ginger, turmeric, and cinnamon. And you can actually have that gut-healthy coffee, inshallah. So I don't know how many of you would be doing it, but those that love coffee could actually try it. Inshallah, it'll only be of benefit to your health. We take a break, and when we return, we share with you the ayat from the Holy Quran. It's actually Surah Kaf, ayat number 14. And I'll share that with you and just reflect on it, and hopefully, inshallah, inspire you at the same time. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We conclude our program with the ayat from the Holy Quran, inshallah, and we hope to reflect on it a little bit, and inshallah, hope that it will inspire you in some way or the other. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. It's the ayat from Surah Al-Kahf, ayat number 14. And it says, Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. And we strengthened their hearts with patience when they stood up and said, our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. We will by no means call upon any god besides him. For then indeed we should have said an extravagant thing. Well, listeners, your complete faith and tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your biggest strength in life. Allah is Al-Khaliq, the creator, Al-Bari, the evolver, Al-Musawwir, the fashioner, and Al-Ghaffar, the forgiver. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, He gives you His most precious gift, and that is guidance. Allah's love is not reflected on how good He made you look, your financial status, the house that you have, or what type of a car you drive, or how high your college has elevated you in status. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that to many, each getting their own share of His distribution out of His bounty. Yet, the gift of guidance is the ultimate sign of His love. And this particular gift, He selects Himself. He chooses among zillions of people in the world and then blesses it. Imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers your name now. He wants to bless you with guidance just based on that one sincere deed or dua that you made. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Just imagine what an honor and a privilege it would be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessing you with His most precious gift of guidance. Therefore, respected listeners, be grateful, be happy, be humble, and be thankful to Him. Alhamdulillah, your Rabb chose you and blessed you with His most precious gift. Don't ever let anyone make you feel sad for not being that great person in this life, because your greatness lies in being obedient to Him, none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although people's perception might be blurred, don't let yours be either. Your view is to please your Rabb at any cost. Don't let the blurry view divert you from the path of guidance. You know that in return, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you with what you couldn't ever dream of having. A beautiful, unexpected blessing, inshallah. Hence today, let us all thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with the gift of Islam, choosing us to be Muslims, and gifting us the most precious gift of guidance. Respected listeners, ponder all your, ponder upon all your blessings from small to big and be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them all. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And with that, listeners, I conclude my program today. Jazakallah khair to Sister Nasira Nanabai, my program's manager, to my guests, Appa Zakira and Sarmia, and Sister Fazila Bayat, and of course to my engineer, and to our listeners. Inshallah, take care, stay safe, and, you know, look after your health, please. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.